case on the docket, case number 6, Jackson v. Everett, 062809.
May it please the court, my name is Jerry Fennell. It's my privilege to represent Lonnie Jackson, a prisoner presently in the Wisconsin Penal Institution, but formerly a prisoner at the Milwaukee County Jail. I am considerably humbled by trying to argue a prisoner's rights case at this stage of my career, so I'm not going to say a great deal because the longer I talk, the more likely I am to make a mistake in this area of the law. But I will primarily limit myself just to the critical issue of a blanket policy denying witnesses. And that is the issue here today, is if a penal institution has a blanket policy denying a prisoner witnesses in a disciplinary hearing, must the prisoner prove in a 1983 action that his denial of a witness materially affected the outcome of his hearing? And the facts of this case are that on December 10th of 2001, my client was asked to turn back in some asthma medication as he was put into a cell, and he refused to do so according to the factual record. And he was charged with use of medication. And my client's case rests entirely on the absolute honesty of a witness, the defendant, Mr. McGillis, in which he said, essentially, over a two-year period, at least, in over 1,000 prisoner cases, he, across the board, did not allow them to have witnesses. This wasn't some criteria based on materiality or safety. It was just an across-the-board policy, contrary to the written policy of the jail, in which he said they didn't get witnesses.
And so how was he harmed by denial of that request? Because that's what you've got to deal with. I understand what Piggy says in the case law.
For standing, I have to. It's my position that in order to stand here on his behalf or for him to bring this action, he has to show that somehow he was potentially harmed or harmed. And in two respects he was. One, he was charged with misuse of medication. And Officer McGillis said he really didn't know what this charge was based on. He said that in the record. And secondly, that witness would be material to that charge. But also, my client was penalized. And the fact of how greatly he needed these medications and how he might be placed in some degree of fear of having his asthma medication taken away would go to the penalty phase. There's two phases of a disciplinary hearing. And so as to both phases, he was harmed.
He was able to keep two of his asthma.
Well, I'm reluctant to get into the... I don't want to challenge the factual findings of Magistrate Callahan because I don't... That this court doesn't do that.
He had three inhalers, two. So I can just... But I'm trying to weigh that in terms of harm. I understand you're saying that he was subject to discipline and received some time for that.
Yes.
Just in terms of physical harm, we're talking about inhalers here, and he was allowed to keep two. And the one that was taken away or that was asked for was the one that had come from the clinic, at least as I understand it.
Well, I'm thrown off. I don't know if I have to prove that he was somehow physically harmed by not having the inhalers. I can't prove that. I can prove that because he was in pre-detention, he had a constitutional right not to be in. Had he been in the general prison population in a state penitentiary, his short-term denial in the segregation unit wouldn't give rise to a 1983 action from the cases I've read. But as a pre-detention, pre-charge prisoner, he has greater rights. And his being placed in segregation, where he had no ability to contact witnesses or his lawyer, and I had some experience with that, or to have any visitors, is a serious deprivation. But really, this court's case decision in Whitlock pretty clearly says you can't have a blanket policy. And in this case, we proved that there was a blanket policy that affected over 1,000 prisoners.
Well, it was a blanket policy of this officer, not the county jail? Or was it a blanket policy of the county jail? I'm a little unclear about that.
Well, there's nothing in the record to clear up that uncertainty.
Okay. So the assertion is we'll accept that it's a blanket policy in the jail, that an inmate under a disciplinary charge doesn't have the right to call witnesses. And he can challenge that to the extent that he was subjected to that blanket policy.
Yes.
And was deprived of the right to call witnesses. But the question then becomes and gets back to Judge Williams' inquiry, which is how was he harmed? How would the witness or witnesses that he wanted to call have affected the outcome of the proceeding? I mean, there's no question that he was adjudicated guilty of being unruly, apparently, or using obscene language or whatever. I don't know what the specific charge was, but he was disciplined for unruly behavior, for not returning the inhaler.
Yeah, there were four charges. Being unruly, but then misuse of medication,
okay,
refusing to give the medication
okay
back, and then a general violating rules of the institution. But again, with a blanket policy, if he still has to prove that that witness was material, I think if he proves that witness's testimony was could have been material, then he's harmed.
Right, but how would the witness have changed the outcome?
Witness would have changed the outcome by showing that in two parts. One, as to what the medication he claimed he was asking to keep, he was entitled to.
That's the medical documentation unequivocally proved the opposite, that he wasn't entitled to keep the mm-hmm inhaler.
Well, the problem is, in responding to your question, I'm going outside the record because you don't have the transcript from the trial other than McGinnis, because that's the only part I requested, and the defendants didn't request the rest of the transcript. So I'm going outside the record if I respond to that.
Wasn't there a nurse who had that, and wasn't she called to testify?
She was called to testify, but there's no transcript of that before you. That's my problem, and I don't quote to this court material that's not before you. And
why don't we have a transcript?
Why wasn't there?
This was tried to the court, right?
There was no transcript prepared other than what I requested in my appeal, because I thought I should request as limited amount of a transcript as possible because he was pro se. And so I requested the testimony of Officer McGillis. I didn't request the entire record. And the defendants did not request the balance of the testimony. And so...
But it's your burden on appeal. And
well,
so if the record is incomplete...
But as to the penalty part of the case, it is my position that there is no question but that this individual could testify about the medications and what he was and wasn't allowed to have. And he got, I think, 9 days just for the medication part of it.
Who was the witness he wanted to call?
The witness was a representative of the medical department, so his medical records could come in and be presented as to show what the medications were. That's who he wanted.
And those records, were those medical records, were they subpoenaed by you or... Were the medical records part of the record? Are they part of the record? So we can look at that to look at what he was required to take or whether it should have been returned, this one inhaler.
I can't answer that with certainty. I didn't subpoena them. There were some medical records offered at the hearing, but I'm reluctant to say yes.
A full transcript was made of the hearing. Is that what you're saying? A full transcript was made?
No.
No.
No, no. There was. It wasn't.
I just thought you ordered only a portion of it.
I ordered only a portion.
So it doesn't exist. I mean, it has not been typed up. The rest of it. It hasn't even been typed up. So it's not like we could have access to it because it was typed. It hasn't been typed. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
And I simply was reluctant to try to. There was a whole day of testimony, and I thought the critical issue was, and still do, that there's a blanket policy. I've taken too much time, and.
No, you have some time left for rebuttal. We'll call on you once Mr. Williams has completed his argument. Mr.
Thank
Williams.
You.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Roy Williams from the Milwaukee County Office of Corporation Counsel, and I represent the defendants in this case. Beyond what Mr. Fennell has said, or in addition to that, the issue is not just the blanket policy as he describes it. The issue is, the policy as it relates to Mr. Jackson in this case, the witnesses he sought to call. He sought to call witnesses who had nothing relevant to testify about. Your Honor mentions the Piggy case where the court said that an inmate has a right to call witnesses. However, an inmate does not have a right to call witnesses who would offer irrelevant, repetitive, or unnecessary testimony. Judge Callahan, whose decision I'm asking that you affirm, ruled and decided that the witnesses sought by Mr. Jackson offered irrelevant, unnecessary, or repetitive testimony. In this case, he said the testimony was not relevant. He sought the testimony of someone from the jail medical staff to talk about the inhaler. It was established, and as Judge Callahan describes, and Your Honor mentioned it, there were three inhalers at issue. It was clear that Mr. Jackson was allowed to keep two inhalers, and the issue was the third inhaler that he wanted to keep, that he refused to give up, which led to the discipline and the disciplinary hearing, which are at issue in this case.
Let me go back now on this blanket policy, because you agree, don't you, that the blanket policy forbidding inmates from calling witnesses is improper?
Yes.
And so what's the practice now? Has that now been changed? What's the current procedure when an inmate asks for witnesses?
I believe, and again, I inherited this case from a colleague who retired, but it is my understanding that this policy, along with a number of other policies in the Milwaukee County Jail and Milwaukee County House of Correction, have been changed.
So this wasn't just Deputy McGillis's interpretation or misinterpretation of the policy. Evidently, he was proceeding pursuant to jail policy that prohibited inmates from calling witnesses in disciplinary proceedings?
I don't know that for certain. I know that this was Deputy McGillis's practice based on his honesty at the trial. And clearly, I certainly won't stand up here and argue that it was proper, it was not proper, it violated due process. That is clear, in my opinion, and I think that was clear to Judge Callahan. And despite that, he ruled that the witnesses sought by Mr. Jackson shouldn't be allowed, were not likely to lead to relevant testimony.
I recognize that you were not trial counsel, but apparently this claim was litigated as an as-applied challenge to the policy and not as a facial challenge to the policy. In other words, the petitioner was seeking damages for the due process violation in the conduct of his disciplinary proceedings. He wasn't looking for injunctive relief to strike the policy and have it revised to conform to the law?
That's my understanding also.
Okay.
And again, if you go back to, I believe, the Hayes versus Walker case from 1977, the court held in this circuit, it's one of the first circuits to deal with this issue, that prison officials should look at a proposed witness and determine whether or not that witness should be allowed to testify. In this case, that didn't happen on Deputy McGillis's part. However, when Judge Callahan looked at the case after hearing the evidence produced at trial, he decided, he looked at the witnesses and said, no, these witnesses, there's no error. There is error, but it's harmless error. These witnesses were offered nothing relevant at all. So based on that, I ask again that you affirm Judge Callahan's decision.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. How much time does Mr. Fennell have? 1 minute, Mr. Fennell.
May it please the court. Justice Sykes, there was an injunction.
Oh, you just promoted me. I'm just a judge.
That's right.
I used to be a justice for 5 years.
Judge.
She took a demotion when she joined this court.
There was an injunction requested. That's part of his relief in his initial complaint.
Was it litigated that way, though? And wouldn't there be
order.
A standing? Well, maybe there would. Yeah, there would be a jurisdictional issue because he has long since been transferred to the custody of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections,
yeah,
right?
but the fact that, and I believe the Ponte case or the Whitlock case addresses that, or the McGillis case addresses that from Massachusetts, as to if you go out of the prison system, you still have standing to challenge. The fact that you are no longer in the prison system, you still have an opportunity to challenge. I'm stymied by this idea that if you prove a blanket policy, and then you still have to prove that your witness was relevant, that seems to run contrary to Whitlock, because Whitlock says that this circuit adopts the case-by-case analysis and materiality, except where there is a blanket policy. And where there's just a flat blanket policy, you get no witnesses if you prove that. And if there's some showing that the witness was material, end of game. Plaintiff prevails. And that's what happened in this case.
Yeah, now, but the problem is we're not with you on that some showing, because you still haven't shown why it would have made a difference or what these witnesses would have said that would have changed the outcome.
But the problem is he's never allowed to call the witnesses. And I think Whitlock stands for the proposition, and Ponte from the U.S. Supreme Court, is that there is some type of limited blanket policy. The prison official still must state why the witness wasn't called. In this case, there is no showing whatsoever as to why this witness was not called. None.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fennell. And you were appointed, and we appreciate your accepting the appointment. It's very, very important to the court that lawyers are willing to do that. We thank you for that. Mr. Williams, we thank you for your fine representation. We will take the case under advisement, and that is our last case of the day, so court will stand in recess.